Good deal. Hallelujah. As we continue our study tonight, go ahead and open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we've been in a series, and somebody asked me, why do you always use the same letters and everything? And with me, it's easy to follow, and I build messages and build these Bible studies from scratch. We begin with the authority we have in the name of Jesus. Then we looked at the anointing of God that's upon our lives. Then we looked at we're faced with adversity. And I want to say something about adversity. When you're headed in the direction that God called you to go in, if you're not facing adversity, you're not listening to the Father because you're probably not heading in the right direction. Amen? Because the devil doesn't want you to accomplish what God called you to do. There's the activation. The Spirit of God has been activated in us when we answer the call on our life, that we're anchored in Christ. We're armored by the armor of God. We have access to the throne by the name of Jesus. We have blessed assurance Jesus is ours. What a foretaste of glory divine, which gives us an ability to do things we couldn't do before. Last week, Dave spoke to you about the abundance. But, you know, we have an abundance. God shall supply for all of our need according to his riches and glory and Christ Jesus. And tonight I want to talk to you this evening about abounding. Abounding. So we get into the context, the Apostle Paul was teaching the church of Corinth that they never die, that this corruptible puts on incorruption and this mortal puts in immortality. And as he's closing that chapter, he said, but thanks be to God in verse 57, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word to accomplish something to every listener tonight, Father God. I pray that our ears be open, Father God, and that faith would increase, because your word declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Spirit of the living God, speak through me tonight, Father God. As the words proceed out of my mouth, may they bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer. And when all is said and done and complete, you will receive the glory and all the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You know, when I was looking at this thanks for the victory. If you look on chapter 16, verse 13, and this isn't in your message, this is free. It's not going to cost you nothing. Amen. In verse 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So there's a call for us to stand fast, a call to stay faithful, a call to stick to it, to have some stick to it-ness, and a call to strengthen, that we're strengthened. He strengthens us in our weakness. Therefore, we glorify him in our infirmities because his power is resting upon us. But the first thing he says to us in our text tonight, in verse number 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren. I'm sorry, he doesn't include sister in here, just the brethren. That was corny Carl, okay? And I was thinking about the brethren, and I thought about the students, because we're all students of the gospel, men and women alike, right? I love what the Apostle Paul said to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, study to shew thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, okay? So as we're looking at this tonight, the first thing we want to look at is brethren. The word of God talks to us in Romans chapter 8 about the firstborn. And if you look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse number, I'm going to start with 28 because we all love that scripture. Amen? How many is going through something in their lives right now? How many know it's working for your benefit? Amen? The Word of God says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, know that God knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Look at the one next to you and say, you look just like Jesus. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Look at the one next to you and say, God's called you by name. And whom He has called, He also justified. And whom He has justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can stand against us? So first, we're the image of Christ. We're the firstborn of many creatures. When we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So when I'm looking at this, he says that we're also in the family. We're first fruits, and we've been grafted into the family of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 11. The writer of Hebrews says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Let's stop here a minute. Parents, it's your responsibility to teach your children to praise and to worship the Lord. Amen. And for some reason, we're in a generation where the children aren't praising the Lord any longer. Amen. And God says it, for He's given us a call to wake up. Because when children start praising the Lord and worship the Lord because of their pure hearts, because of their innocence, He fills the place with His presence. Amen. Amen. So it's important for the children to be praising God. It's important for the children to be worshiping the Lord. Amen. And let me say this. We're all His baby and His children. When God looks down at you, He sees you as a perfect being. He sees His Son covering you with His robe of righteousness. He doesn't see you and I. He sees His Son, and He enters into it. Amen. And I want to say this. When the children begin praising the Lord, the older folks will begin praising the Lord, and all of a sudden, we'll have a Holy Ghost good time. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting God's glory to come. It appeared here once. Amen. And He's coming back again. He filled this place where you could not even see up to the sound booth, and the sound booth couldn't see to the floor. A cloud filled this sanctuary with the presence of God. Let me say this to you. We can't fake it until we make it. You ain't going to fake His glory. It was sort of like Moses. When he went up to meet God, the glory was all over him. And then he come down and the people witnessed the glory. But then Moses wasn't following the Lord, was angry, and the glory left him. Then he put a veil over him, faking that he had it, trying to fake it till he made it, to fool the children of Israel that the glory was still with them. Hello? We're not here to fake it till we make it. God's the real deal. Amen? Amen. And He deserves all the glory and all the honor and praise. So then He talks about the faithful. The Apostle Paul writes to his student Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. The Apostle Paul, thanking the Lord, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Amen? That he counted me faithful. Amen? So he says to us, as students of the gospel, as brethren and sistren, we're part of the firstborn of Christ. Amen? We're in the family of God, and there's a call for us to be faithful. Moreover, it's required of my stewards that a man be found faithful. I don't know about you, but God has been faithful to me. Has he been faithful to you? Amen. Has he met every one of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Has he not taken care of you and your family? Has he provided a way for you where there seemed to be no way? Amen. Has he opened doors for you that seemed like they would never open? And has he closed doors behind you that you thought you could never close? Yes. Hallelujah. And we serve a God that's alive and well. Amen. He's alive and well in me. He's alive and well in you. And there's not another thing that needs to be done. When Jesus said, "On the cross of Calvary, it was finished. It is done. It is complete." We don't have to work to earn anything. By grace, we flow in God's mercy and his grace. And we accomplish what God called us to do. Not by our power, not by our might, but by the power of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but that, you know, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. And he hasn't given us the spirit of fear in this world that we live in, but a power and mind. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes everybody questions if I have a sound mind, amen, because I'm a little corny, I'm a little different. But God said, and he reminded me, that we are peculiar creatures, amen. We're all different, and our differences are important. That's what makes it so interesting and exciting, amen. So secondly, he calls for us to be steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast, unmovable. And if we're going to be steadfast and unmovable, that calls for us to take a stand. Yes. To stand. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, and verse number 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Amen. What did the Lord set you free from? From bondage. What did he deliver you from? He says, "When I deliver you, don't look back." Amen. Amen. Don't look back. Right. Amen. Keep moving ahead. Amen. Amen. God is faithful. Look at the one next to you and say he's faithful. Right. Now it's important. It's important for us as we're taking the stand, to stand in faith, to be unmovable, that we also, it's important to speak. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof, whatever we speak, we have power in our words. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Amen. So we're standing and we're speaking the truth. If Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," Jesus is the way to the truth. He's the life of the truth. He is the truth. Amen. And as we're speaking the gospel, we're opening up the windows of heaven. Amen. But it calls for you and I to submit. This is probably one of the biggest areas that we have to deal with, is to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter this coming Sunday. And I remember as a young man, my dad was a pastor in Riverdale, Maryland. And every Easter I would go, and every Easter I would pick Jesus up as my Savior. And on the way home, I would let Jesus back out. Amen. And I'd go return to that same thing. But something happened on October the 12th, 1997. I picked Jesus up, but I just didn't pick him up as my Savior. I made him the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. And when I made him Lord of my life, he took control of my life. So the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 5, the apostle says in verse number 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant. How many know when I'm drunk, I can't be vigilant? Come on, let's be real. Amen. I remember as a young man, let me say that when I was rebelling against God as a teenager, first thing I started doing was drinking. And then after I got a little high off of alcohol, I started smoking weed. And then after I started smoking weed, I started doing LSD. And after I started doing LSD, it keeps going and going that I did it all, you know. But it was the little foxes that spoiled the vine. It was that thing that I did first that made my defenses weak, that I picked up the next thing. Amen. So he tells us in his word to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, the Word of God says, let no man say when he is tempted by God, because God does not tempt with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But when tempted, we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death, because the wages of sin is death. We might not be looking for that, but that's what it brings. So then he says to us tonight, we're also looking at, he's called us to stand, be careful about what we speak, and to submit. Let me say something to the husbands and wives, since I have this opportunity. Husbands and wives, Ephesians 5 says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit unto your husband. A lot of times the husbands want to take that, wives, submit, but he says in verse 24, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, that we're to honor one another, that we're to respect one another, that we're to love one another. It's kind of interesting. The Lord showed me something this morning. It was kind of interesting. He was talking to me about Adam. When Adam was created, he took a rib from Adam to create Eve. And the Lord said to me, he said that rib was the man's emotions and feelings, okay? And in other words, he took that out of him and gave it to Eve. And so the woman has feely, touchy emotions and feeling. We make up our minds, we do things. Women are feeling, they're touched with feelings and stuff. So the Lord gave us a wife. He said it wasn't good for us to be alone. So he gave us a wife to help us get in touch with our feelings. Hello? Because it was a part of us that was given to them, and we need them, and we cleave to them, and we become one, because what they have is part of us and we need it. Now, he never showed me that before, but he just showed that to me today. And if it fits with the scriptures, receive it, and don't spit it out, don't swallow it. Hallelujah. So we're to submit. Thirdly, the service. We're to serve God with all of our hearts. In Exodus chapter 23, verse number 25, the Word of God says this, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread, in thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Amen? Amen. So when we worship the Lord, we honor him with our whole heart. He's telling, man, he's going to protect us and he's going to heal us. When I was looking at this, the Lord said he also, through his word, to sustain you and I. In Hebrews chapter 12. Are you with me tonight? Yes. Amen. Verse 28. The word of God says this. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So to this, he's talking about allowing the word and allowing the Spirit of God to sanctify us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says this. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Remember, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. I remember that when we're talking this, that sanctification is a process. God's taking us through a process. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And God isn't sending the word or anything to condemn anyone. God loves you right where you're at. He loves each and every one of us right where we're at, but he loves us so much he's not going to leave us there. Amen. He takes us from glory to glory, even as by his Spirit. Yes. Amen. So when I was looking at that, we're called to serve, that he will sustain us, that he will sanctify us. And in Revelations chapter 19, I was reminded when John was before Jesus, and you hear it, he says, he was before one of the angels, one of the created beings. He said, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Amen. In other words, let's not get big-headed. Don't worship the messenger. Worship the God of the message. Amen. Amen. Let's don't get our focus so much on the one that's preaching. Let's get our focus on the word that's coming forth and give God the glory for it. Amen. I know one thing about God. He doesn't share his glory with no one. Amen. And all glory belongs to him. So what he is saying to us in this, that, hey, for us to be steadfast, unmovable, doing what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. What are you doing for the Lord? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For that's our good and our reasonable service. Amen. God's called us to serve one another. Amen. Yes. Praise your name, Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sit in here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. For those that are listening, Father God, if there's any that do not know you, Father God, may they recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that God, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life, that Jesus, you're the way, you're the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by you. So by asking you to come into their hearts and lives, that you'll forgive their sins and you'll write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you for every believer, Father God. Lord Jesus, I pray that their spirits be quickened, Father God, that the gifts of God in them would be stirred, Father God, stirred to action, Father God, that we take steps of faith. Faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen, that we're not waiting to see it to step into it. But by faith, when you show us and you say to us, we act upon your word. So Lord, we say, be glorified and be magnified in and through us all. Be with us for the rest of this week in our workplaces, Father God, in our homes, Father God. We cast all of our cares upon you, for we know that you care for each and every one of us. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.